from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Ah, yes, you hit me with the little brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right here.
Look at you knowing everything I'm playing, man.
Look, I love me some music, so try. Well, I was about to say try and stump me. You can do that. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not like that. But we're having a good vibe right here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Y'all got jokes. I want y'all to understand that, and I appreciate people who have jokes. Keep them coming on the text line 713-572-4610, and on YouTube where someone came with Ryan DePresley. As we were talking about, we were talking about the pitchers, particularly in the pen. But someone mentioned that Lopez, I saw wearing the CRO, the crow.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but aren't you a little old to try and shape your head at this stage in life?
Why not, man?
That's not funny. Mm-hmm. Someone else mentioned something. About the Josh Hader thing. You got to understand, we have PTSD with closers from Brad Lidge.
Boy, that is the truth.
Great. And then one swing derails an entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel you. But yeah, we're coming out of halftime, and Crazy Legs Lopez, 3 attempts for 17 yards.
Yes. Season high.
That's what you look like.
Season high.
So yeah,
17 yards.
We're coming out of the half of the show into the second half where Lopez in his leather helmet paying off.
I'm feeling it.
Paying off his A&M Notre Dame bet to Sean Pendergast.
Who Sean
Lopez. I think that Sean, yes, the autumn wind.
Yeah. Right? Wing T.
He is a true halfback.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Triple threat.
I think Sean is very happy about this payout.
Screw Sean.
Him, along with everyone else that has walked by the window of our studio, has done so with the biggest grin. Looking like the cat from the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
Just big old smile.
Yeah.
Watching you in your leather helmet do this work. The work that I did last night, although I wouldn't call it work, I watched football, was going back and rewatching week 2, week 18 of last year's Texan season. If you were scoring at home, those were both against the Indianapolis Colts. Week 2 at home, NRG Stadium, you welcomed in the Colts early on in C.J. Stroud's tenure as a starting quarterback. Week 18, you went on the road, both teams 9-7 in a win-and-get-in scenario for both of those teams. Spoiler alert, your Texans won, got into the playoffs, and went and made a little bit of noise. But I kind of wrote down some of my thoughts in an attempt to, one, get us ready for game one of this season, seeing what's still applicable. So I want to, as I'm giving you these notes, please add in.
Oh, trust me. We will react.
Text line, YouTube, Twitch. Let us know. What do you recall from these games? What do you remember about some of the notes that I'm dropping? And I kind of want to take all of that in and let's spin it forward. What's going to be important? What's going to factor in for the Texans this season, particularly with game one against the Colts themselves, but then also over the course of the season as we're getting ready to embark on this journey. So the first note that I made, week 2, Indianapolis, C.J. Stroud, second start. You had Josh Jones playing left tackle as opposed to Laremy Tunsil. And that was important because, oh boy, the run and pass blocking. disgusting.
It was bad.
In that game.
It was really, really bad. And keep in mind, this was after the loss in Baltimore, and you're still sort of like, okay, what is this C.J. Stroud guy all about? You know,
yeah.
You had a good feeling, you know, based on the preseason and some of the things that he showed, but the offensive line just never gave you a good gauge.
No.
The line never gave you a good gauge of what to expect.
I mean, you had your right guard in C.J. Stroud's kitchen frequently, just mm-hmm. in his lap, was mm-hmm. just getting powered. I mean, I was embarrassed. There was secondhand embarrassment watching this game. Like, mm-hmm. oh my God, this is not an NFL offensive line.
Yeah.
When it came down to it. And C.J. Stroud was running for his life.
Yes, he was.
In week two. And I had to remember, like, yeah, man, this is like real rookie stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interesting, as we'll continue, the way that even during the course of these two games, like the changes that were felt between C.J. Stroud existing as a rookie under a lot of pressure, right? I can't really blame him for feeling like a rookie as he's like evading and trying to get out of these things, right? Because the offensive line was that poor. But I did find it interesting, like the growth that he had. But yeah, he was running for his life, which made it so that that game felt like, at least from CJ's perspective, that you could not give very much of an insight into it. And it's why I get that Zaire Franklin, CJ, or EJ Speed want to talk that mm-hmm. talk about the ways that they were able to handle CJ Stroud. I don't think that that's indicative of that matchup, what that's going to be going forward at all.
And that's what I'm doing here. As you said, spinning it forward to now, to this Sunday, you know, what is applicable? I don't think that's real applicable. Not just from the line perspective, but also from the C.J. Stroud perspective, you know, and how he's able to evade the rush. I think he got a lot better at that over the course of the first four games.
He wasn't all that bad in that game either. Yeah. You could tell that there was just a lack of experience on the NFL level and like, mm-hmm. okay, how do I move around these and escape some of these? And during the course of the game, in the third and fourth quarter, you started seeing, okay, he's making some decisions on the movements to evade some of these things a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I also made note that the Colts were very much treating C.J. Stroud like a rookie because they sent a lot of pressure.
Yeah, they did. And it was one of those things where they also were up early, so they could. You know, they sent a lot of pressure because they were playing a lot of zone defense.
So outside of that, there was only a few more notes that I made from game one, which was Zach Moss breaking a ton of tackles, which I don't know how much was about Zach Moss or how much was just about this Texans defense tackling. And then there was also a ton of busted coverages, which pick a struggle. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like pick a struggle. There was a lot of times where, you know, the run fits were when they were actually good, that dudes were just bouncing off of. The guys in blue. And so I had that, or actually that was a whiteout, sorry. Mm-hmm. So they were just bouncing off of them. And the big thing that I wanted to talk about was Gardner Minshew came in late in that game because, you know, Anthony Richardson, we know that he left during some of those. How susceptible is this defense overall to the quick passing game? Because Gardner Minshew was getting the ball out quick mm-hmm. and just eating them up. And I know that the scheme itself is the same, if not, or similar, if not the same. However, I don't think you have better players defensively to execute this when it comes to, like, you know, when you get into zone and, you know, feeling out when, you know, when you're in a zone, is somebody entering my zone? Let me make sure that I shade towards them, those types of things, where you definitely didn't do that well in week two of last season when this team was really starting to grab onto what D'Amico Ryans wanted defensively and all those things. How susceptible is this defense just inherently by the style of defense to the quick passing game?
I think the style has changed. I think last year, you know, D'Amico Ryans, this was his second game too.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, you know, who on defense was going to be able to do what. We were talking about MJ Stewart in the break because I think he's the only one.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, not practicing today?
Yeah, you had pretty much full attendance as opposed to, I believe, MJ Stewart, if I am reading this tweet correctly, from Jonathan M. Alexander.
I mean, you look at the guys that were making plays there. It was all because they were sort of nickel and diming. That falls on Shane Steichen, too, and what Shane Steichen could maybe take advantage of then versus what he thinks he can take advantage of now. So I think the whole style is, and the approach have changed. Spinning that forward, I could see where maybe they would have to do that, but only if they're behind, not ahead, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, the quick game defensively, yeah. I'm interested in, like, if teams are going to be doing that and just kind of like dink and dunk in some ways, because I thought Minshew was able to do that
a
good amount. And of course, like, yeah, if you're doing the things on offense to put teams behind and those types of things, sure, if you want to try and throw underneath and get yards, cool. But the swarm mentality is going to need to be executed a lot better, because I think that also didn't help. Is you throw a ball underneath for a good 6 yards and then somebody's bouncing off or finding space in a busted cover and turning that into a chunk play, which is the thing that you definitely don't want to give up in the NFL. So that was the big thing from week 2. I felt like it was one of those games that you can't put too much stock in, but it was noticeable, those things that were issues for a decent amount of the season last year, which was that offensive line particularly. Oh, run blocking was.
It was bad.
A mess.
It was bad. Damian Pierce, that was the first game where you go like, where's Damian Pierce?
Yeah.
He didn't do much.
And, I mean, Singletary as well. But let's turn to week 18, the win to get in game. Both teams 9-7 visiting in Indy, as they will be in week 1 this weekend on Sunday. The run fits looked so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But the tackling, not so much.
Tackling was not so much a problem, and that was a Jonathan Taylor problem. I mean, that was Jonathan Taylor just destroying this defense. And, you know, that's the one looking forward. Going back to today, to this Sunday, that's the big problem. I mean, that's a huge problem that the Texans are going to have to answer. I went through the numbers yesterday, but he's rushed in 6 games against the Texans for 800 yards. I mean, he's T.Y. Hilton 2.0 when it comes to the Texans. So that is the one where, yes, I'm as concerned, if not more so now, than I was last year.
And I'm not going to play the audio because I don't want to like use the majority of the time. But D'Amico Ryans, when talking yesterday, he was asked on like what's going to be the biggest thing that this team needs to get better on to, you know, have success, particularly in this week. But tackling was the first thing that came out of his mind. His mouth. Am I not right there, Figgy? Like the first thing that he talks about is tackling. We heard that earlier this morning. And yeah, that felt very evident when it came to this because, again, if your run fits are great, all you got to do is finish. But the problem is if you don't finish, now you're getting a dude bouncing off of you and your integrity of your defense falls flat on his face because that was the guy that was supposed to handle that. And if he didn't, you don't have another guy in that space. Mm-hmm. And now you're taking that for big yards. And so I think that that's going to be a huge thing to watch. I know that that's been an emphasis over the course of this preseason and training camp.
It was an emphasis in the offseason in acquisitions.
And it needs to show up on the field.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. And we've talked about how you have big running threats in this game. Week 1 is going to be a very interesting insight into whether or not that tackling has actually improved. Another thing that's going to be interesting when it comes to my rewatch from week 18 last year, Christian Harris flashed early and often. That dude was everywhere.
Yeah.
When I say everywhere, I mean everywhere.
He
was all over the place. He had a sack in the second drive, a second offensive drive for the Colts. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
That's why they say it.
And that's also why it's going to be super interesting to see what this looks like without him for the first 4 weeks as he is, you know, dealing with that injury on injured reserve. Right? I think that that's going to be something that my eye is attuned to because that dude, number 48, popped up everywhere.
He had an end of a season where you can start looking, kind of like a mini Derek Stingley. You can start looking forward and go, oh, he's going to be really special. Well, he's not playing. Jonathan Taylor is. And not just that, the Anthony Richardson is. I will say this about Anthony Richardson from the week one game that was very evident to me. And if you're a Colts fan, this has got to change.
Or week two, rather.
Week two, yeah.
Yeah, week one this year.
This has got to change. He takes hits, but he takes a lot of hits. Shane Steichen's got to be just hammering it. Like, don't do that. Get out of bounds. You rewatched the game. I remember one play in particular. It was before he scored the touchdown. Like, he put his shoulder down like a Damian Pierce, like a running back. And I'm like, that could be a big issue for the Colts, not just week one, but all year long.
The blessing and the curse of being a big body quarterback. Yeah. Is that you have that to your advantage. One of those things that we saw Josh Allen kind of, and I don't know that he's even figured out because he loved taking a hit himself.
Yeah.
But we see what the downside of that is, even with guys that can take that can take those hits like Cam Newton.
It adds up, and it
shortens that career lifespan. Now, of course, Cam Newton's career got shortened in some ways because he never had the great mechanics for throwing the football. He just had power.
Yeah.
And that power kind of waned. He did not have the mechanics to counteract that. However, those hits factored in, and some of those were just... He didn't get penalties in the back of the pocket or whatever when teams would just go and tee off on him. But no, you don't want to go and take those unnecessary hits by going and seeking out contact, as it seems like Richardson does. So that will be interesting, and if he leaves that open, are the Texans capable of, like, I don't know how to say this in a delicate way, of like taking advantage of that and making...
No,
making
they will. That, no, delicate or not. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're...
Yeah, I don't want anybody to accuse us of like hoping anybody gets hurt or anything.
No,
it's
a fact of life right now. And that's something that Steichen and the Colts have to change. Anthony Richardson has to change because the Texans will punish him. And he wasn't playing week 18, but even from the week one and his short stint, as a starter, he takes a lot of hits. They are absolutely going to take advantage of that.
Two words that begin with the letter D: discipline and details.
Mm-hmm.
Is the word I was looking for. Discipline and details. There was a moment, or there was a kind of a pair of plays, or maybe not pair, but like in a little run of time, T.R. Tart had an offsides after they had pinned the Colts deep. And the only reason they pinned the Colts deep is because they had to punt after Laremy Tunsil had a false start other side that ended a drive.
Go figure.
Right? Like, how much are those details, is that discipline going to factor in for the Texans this year? Because it seemed like there was moments where you hurt yourself by simply not being on your P's and Q's.
It's a way of life with Laremy Tunsil, and it always seems to happen in some...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about T.R. Tart doing that, but Laremy Tunsil is the one that's going to factor.
Laremy Tunsil jumps off sides. He has false starts. That's just a way of life. That's something you're going to have to deal with. One other thing on week 18 that is very, very interesting, and we'll see how they play it this year. You know, they took that big shot for a touchdown to Nico Collins right out off the...
They sure did.
Right off the bat.
That was the immediate thing where I was like, oh, the pass defense, or sorry, the pass blocking is so much better because it was a long developing route. Gave him time to sit back there.
75, right?
75, because it started on the 25. Yes,
that's
sir.
That's right. That's 75 yards. So I will be interested, very interested to see
how they open this up.
Not only how they open it up, because I've already on the record, I think they're going to throw the first play to Stephon Diggs, just to make a little statement. But not necessarily that, but how the Colts play that deep ball, all game long, not just early or the first play, but all game long. We've talked about that here and there. You know, they got not just Nico, they got Tank. Tank didn't play week 18.
No.
They got Nico, they got Tank, they got Stephon Diggs.
And Buddy.
How are they going to play that with that secondary?
It was just fun to watch the connection that CJ Stroud and Nico had in that game. And really all year, just classic big body receiver, but with the ability to get up to speed. Just a fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fun guy to watch. And so, that's another thing, is just watching the passing game on this team is going to be incredible this year. Shout out to KDDA, who mentioned that he remembered Minshew's miss at the end of the game. That obviously was very... A lot of Texas fans are very grateful for Gardner Minshew missing that. That was able to put the Texans into the playoffs and allow them to make some noise in D'Amico Ryans' first season. And look, let's hope that noise continues to, grow as, they have an opportunity to do something special. A lot of people believe that. And so you have to start on the field, as D'Amico Ryans has mentioned. All these other things and platitudes are nice, but it has to happen with wins and losses. And that begins, at least the opportunity to do so begins week one, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis as the Texans take on the Colts. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about that time for us to get some lunchtime confessions. We will do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
All right, let's get right into this.
I forgot he was wearing the helmet. We went through the whole break, had a whole nice conversation. Yeah. I turned around during the intro and just see the helmet going. It's just it's a laugh every time.
All right, so that's my first confession. Watch this. These are my confessions. I might start making bets that I know I'm going to lose.
No, we're not letting you get away with that. Get out of here.
Because I like strapping up, man. I like strapping up. If this is the loss, I got to wear this this helmet.
We might have to add something to that helmet.
Yeah, no, we're not letting you get away with this.
Yeah, I get some.
It's fun. It's like, all right, you know, let's go.
Yeah,
you
get some shoulder pads and football pads.
Yeah, exactly.
Pads.
We got to make this more comfortable for you.
Yeah. I'm channeling 18-year-old me, man, every segment. Let's go. It's like, you know, slam my head against the locker.
All right.
You know?
Oh, you was one of those guys.
No, I'm not.
You can't tell?
No, I'm not.
You can't tell by the helmet?
Hey, that was a trophy. That was a trophy. That one I wasn't going to get rid of.
John was going up to the locker.
I mean, back in the day, not now. I'm not glory, old glory guy, you know, high school glory days guy. You know that. But this is fun.
All right. More people are in on the idea that we should make that a thing for Football Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are getting close to putting that in ink. Football Fridays with the leather helmets.
Funky like Football Friday with the helmets.
All that will come together. Well, but yeah, I love that John is trying to be the dude or the person who buys you a gift on your birthday that's really for them. He's like, I'll make a bet with you. And it's like, really, you just want to wear the helmet? Just wear the helmet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was the star of the Jerry Seinfeld show? I bet you it wasn't Jerry Seinfeld. Just make a bet that you know you're going to lose.
Yeah, right. Watch this. These are my confessions. Lopez can confirm that during the break, as sometimes I want to do, just like, you know, a thought will make its way out of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't plan things. I don't have a planner. I don't do that, and I probably should. So it's just, if I can remember things, if I have things pop up, and out of my mouth during the break, I just went, wait, have I paid rent? Because it is the 4th. So I did want to give a little PSA. Most of y'all folks, if you're paying rent or mortgage or whatever, you about to be late if you don't get it done today. You know what I mean? Although, new spot for me, they only give me 3 days. I think that's kind of messed up. Like, I feel like four days should be the standard. Like, I'm not asking for 5.
Yeah.
I've seen it before, and I think that's nice. I feel like 4 days should be the standard. 3 is a little tight. You know what I mean? What if it don't line up for me just yet? Just right. Give me one more.
Is it just 4 days now? I seem to remember, you know, 5, 10 days.
Oh, the hell no. That ain't happening. No time soon.
Yeah, I was like, I don't
know. Unless you know the landlord personally.
Maybe 10 days is the mortgage. You get notice from your mortgage.
Okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. I don't know nothing about
10
that.
Which, days.
So you figure you're gonna get 6 more days, man?
Oh.
Yeah, and the 3 day made me think about the idea of maybe I should put it on auto pay, but I have never been that dude.
Oh,
like,
hell.
You just
I
want
don't
me
care
to,
how much money I
right.
got.
Yeah. I don't trust it. I'm supposed to just bet that I'm going to have money in there?
Yeah.
I can't bet on myself in that way.
I don't trust it, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I'm a little bit offended at my wife, man.
Oh, wow.
So since we started doing this new In the Loop show, mm-hmm. and you guys know I have my own segment.
Yes.
Figgy's Mixtape.
Yeah.
120.
Every day at 120. So every time I come home, she always say, hey, how was the show? What you talk about on your segment? And a little backstory is my wife do not listen to the show at all. She don't care for sports talk. Yeah, she don't like sports talk. She don't like AM radio. One time I was in the car, I was off, and I tried to turn it to 610.
Mm-hmm.
And she like, cut this bleep off. Nobody listen to no AM radio. Who want to listen to that?
People.
That reminds me of my grandfather.
That's tough.
So she's just going in on the show. I'm like, dang. I'm like, I kind of get it because I'm not on the radio. So was she no
right.
disrespect.
She's not listening to hear what's happening
she
with
wanna,
the Astros.
She don't want to listen to Sean Pendergast.
Yeah. Wow. In your face, Sean.
Yeah, take that.
Hold that.
She don't care for it. I respect that. But I got my own segment. You got to at least tune in at 120 to listen.
You know,
don't keep coming home asking me what I talked about. Mm-hmm. You tune in at 120 and listen.
You're damn right.
Or at least, you know, we got the podcast. Get you the Odyssey app. Check that out. That's always available to you as well.
Yeah. And look, I get she don't like sports and all that stuff, but at least at 120, just you tune know, in and see what I'm talking about.
Support your man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she, like, I'm tired of telling her what I talked about.
Here's the thing. Do this. Hey, I don't know if she calls you Figgy or Edward, but hey, whatever she calls, honey.
Babe.
Let's say she goes, hey, babe, we've got this event at school this Friday that blah, 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 blah. Nah, I ain't going. I hate that stuff. That's what you need to tell her. Hey, I don't do that.
She's been trying to get me to come in and read to some kids.
Nah, I don't do that.
Time.
Sorry.
Yeah. That sounds great as like making a point, and you know what that will not be great for?
You.
You and your relationship.
Yeah.
Play with that if you want to.
Yeah.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I got to confess, I think we should do this, and I think we should do this right now. Before the show, you know, we're talking about the intros for Baseball Spo and B. Scott. I'm a B. Scott guy. I like that one better, but I think you and Reggie.
Baseball Spo intro goes harder.
Okay, but let's hear them both. 713-572-4610. What are we hearing first?
Let's go with B. Scott.
All right. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. It's going down. H-Town. Howard Clark. B. Scott.
From Hyrum Clark, B. Scott from Hyrum Clark.
That's the winner.
From Hyrum Clark.
You ain't even heard the other one yet.
I know. Well, yes, I have. I hear it every day. Well, every Thursday, every Wednesday.
That's right.
All right, let's hear Baseball Spo. We're having a battle here.
Who they want, who they want, who they want. Who they want, who they want. Baseball Spo.
Yeah.
Baseball Spo.
Yeah.
Baseball Spo.
Yeah.
Baseball
yeah.
Spo.
Yeah.
Baseball Spo.
That's tough. I'm sorry. You're not going to lie to me. You're not going to lie to me and tell me that's not tougher.
I will say this. I feel like Baseball Spo, this one kind of hyped you up a little
bit.
Yes.
The B. Scott one is laid back. It's kind of like an H-Town flavor. It's a little laid back.
Yeah. Now let's do this. Imagine. Let's play B. Scott's intro one more time and imagine Snoop on the lyrics. Because every time I hear it, I hear Snoop in my voice and it's badass. Now imagine Snoop right here.
It's going down. H-Town. Howard Clark. B. Scott.
Here we go.
B. Scott from Hyrum Clark.
Come on, man.
From Hyrum Clark.
Do the Snoop sound. How would Snoop say
it? Yeah, I was doing it pre-show. I'm not going to do it right
now. Wow.
You got to do it.
Wow, he got scared. That's crazy.
But imagine Snoop.
I can see
the Hyrum Clark.
That's tough.
Do it. imagine Snoop doing it. It would be so cool.
I don't know if we have a definitive answer here, but like very early, a lot of B. Scott, but the Baseball Spo audience is coming back in.
They are.
We're fighting back here. Maybe y'all are saying I'm wrong. Lynn, look, I do love that we both have two intros that are both very good, that are in fact great. But yeah, I think personally, I'm still going
to be. We got some B. Scott style. Love, I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So, last night, we got a little bit of LA on LA. I don't know. I'm not going to call LA on LA crime, but those teams played against each other, the Angels and the Dodgers. Dodgers visiting Anaheim out in Orange County. And so, Shohei Ohtani gets to return to where he had previously played. And during his third at-bat, you want to know what it said on the Jumbotron on the big scoreboard?
I did not see this, so yes.
Shohei Ohtani, and under it said, used to work here.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think I love it when teams do this, right? Like, not in a disrespectful way, but have a little fun with, former players. Like, obviously, I do love when there are tribute videos and those types of things, but I really like the opportunity to have a little fun with Shohei Ohtani, a dude who clearly mattered
to work
here. Just the dude who used to work here. So I thought that was really fun.
I love it. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I went to a restaurant a couple weeks ago. I meant to bring this up, but it was a restaurant that used to be a food truck. And they end up getting their own.
Oh, storefront. They got the glow up. You
yeah,
love to see it.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go into the restaurant and eat there. You know, I was super pumped up about it. And, you know, when you take your when you get your order and you say, you know, here, I want to eat here, or, you know, I ask you here or to go. I said here and I sat at the table, you know, waiting. The one thing I hate, I got to confess this, I hate this, and I don't know, maybe some restaurant owners or people that work in the restaurant industry can explain why, but they brought my food out like I asked for it to go. So it was like in the bag and all that stuff.
Oh, but you were eating
it. Oh, no.
I was looking forward to, like, eating there at the restaurant, like, on a tray or something like that. But they just brought it. Like, to me, I felt like it was no purpose of asking me, do I want it here to go?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
They just brought it out in the bag like I was getting ready to dip out. And I'm just like, dang, that kind of.
Did they do that for everyone?
I guess so.
That's kind of the McDonald's template. That's how McDonald's became McDonald's. Everything they served here to go was all in a bag.
Yeah,
and
but
now everybody does it at fast food, but that's not fast food.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I was expecting, because usually, even when you go to a McDonald's, like whenever I haven't eaten inside of a McDonald's in a long time, but they used to bring a tray out. They used to give you a tray.
Yeah.
They used to put the bag on the tray, maybe, or you know, all that stuff. But they just gave it to me like it was like I was dipping out, and I'm like, man, that kind of spoiled the experience for me.
And depending on the place, I do appreciate the idea of, okay, I might start eating here, but if I want to take this, I can just kind of wrap it up and go. But I hear you on the idea of, then why are you asking me the question?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think Chipotle did that a couple times too, where I said for here. And they just bagged everything up. I'm just like, dang. So now I got to take it out the bag. I'm wasting the bag, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm throwing the bag away because I'm eating it here. So that kind of took the fun out
of it. Yeah,
it
does take the fun out. I got to believe that's a money thing. They're just, you know, saving a little more money by just doing everything the same.
I thought either that or maybe somebody didn't want to do the dishes and they just rather just put it in.
Well, that might all be a factor.
Yeah, yeah, the dishwasher is on vacation and we ain't get another one. So y'all getting this this disposable. Yeah.
The other thing, too, the plastic forks. I hate going inside of a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
And they give you the plastic forks. Like,
oh, that's the worst.
This ain't freaking 2020.
Have you ever gotten the plastic forks that are not strong, though? That just
yes, 100%.
And now you got broken, the tines in your food?
100%.
I was
so pissed because I ordered some chicken and waffles from a place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how are you supposed to eat chicken and waffles without a good fork?
They gave me the plastic ware. I'm just like, what in the world? So I'm trying to cut the chicken with the plastic knife. I'm just like, man, this is bad, man.
I'm all for.
And y'all charging me a lot.
You know, I'm all for recycling and you know, save the earth and all that stuff. I get it. I endorse it. But man, when I get a recycled fork, you know, one of those ones that's been recycled.
Yeah.
And it's like a little
cheaper.
It's a little more fragile. I'm like, ah.
What about the straws, the recycled?
Yeah.
The paper straws.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I was like, at that point, just give me a physical fork. Yeah. I will use it. And then you can go wash it. And we can save the earth that way. I was about to ask you about chicken and waffles at that point. I was like, we're just going a whole different level. So let's go ahead and call Confessions a wrap for today. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop. Shout out to the 713 who texted and said, thanks for losing the bet, Lopez. You're wearing the leather helmet. Made me smile today. It brought me joy.
Oh, that's good.
You're not the only one. Literally everyone who's walked by the studio has had a fantastic grin. I have laughed out loud during the course of the show when I just forgot that he was wearing it and saw him put it on. Figgy's been had. It's just a mood lifter.
It's a mood lifter.
You got to get in a 3-point stance.
Yeah.
Go in the hallway and just get in a 3-point stance. I'll record you.
I don't know about that. Now I got to drop another $150 for these helmets for you and Reggie for Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm down for it, man.
Go ahead and do that. Like, we will do that.
Go ahead and do that.
We will do that for sure.
Don't ask me to do it.
Someone did say you look like a fighter pilot in the World War II or something.
That's fine. World War One.
That was hilarious. You're the Red Baron now, I guess, whatever. Coming up next, though, let's talk about some news. Davis Mills got a 1-year extension on his deal that'll make it so that he's no longer in the final year of his contract. I think that's a little bit more important than, you know, maybe it seems with just a 1-year deal. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Sometimes you got to pay the cost to be the boss, baby. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Actually, where my brain goes immediately is actually off of Revenge of the Nerds, the mixtape.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Lupe Fiasco kills this beat.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, it's In the Loop. I've just been deciding to, we're playing a little game, like that's, I guess, between myself and Figgy, where Figgy hits me with music and sees if I'm going to respond to it.
I like it.
And I am. I am going to respond.
It's funny because all the music I've been playing been in the system for years, man.
I love it all.
And nobody ever knows what it is except for a few people on the text line who are like nerdy hip hop guys.
Yeah. Well, don't nobody else care. I care. I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. It's been very fun. Also been fun looking at my co-host to my right.
Hello.
John P. Lopez. The mariachi Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
Wearing his leather football helmet.
He ain't getting the three-point stance, man. Yeah.
Not yet. We'll get, we got to get a picture of it.
Yes,
at least a picture. For sure.
I, when I put this one on, like back old school.
Yeah, he'll there was somebody saying that because you didn't wear the old school helmet that we got to go up over and above. No, Sean Pendergast has said that you sufficiently and adequately.
Yeah, I brought two.
Have answered the call when it came to your bet against.
And I'll wear the other one in exactly 1 hour.
Excellent. Yeah,
this one is more funnier though.
Yeah, I like I'm enjoying this one better. It looks hilarious. So yeah, and a lot of people on the show are on the text line and YouTube have been enjoying looking at this this helmet.
It was worth every penny.
For you.
How much was it?
A little under 150.
Whew, man.
Yeah. It is quality though.
No, it's actually hard leather.
Yeah, it is well made. I it'll be fun watching you break it in. We're going to get you out here doing some drills and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the 713. How about running cross fields after the show? Still want to strap up? That's hilarious. A dude who will strap up for the Texans, not just this season, but also the next season. Davis Mills, mm-hmm. as it was reported earlier this morning, I think Schefter got to it first, that the Texans are extending, or giving Davis Mills an extension. It's not a long one. It's a one-year deal, I believe. $5 million
yeah.
was what it is. And I know that the guys in the morning were talking about it. I was thinking about it, and I felt like this is a good decision
mm-hmm.
by the Texans. Where did you fall when it came down to it?
Several thoughts crossed my mind. One I shared with you before the show.
Oh, I apologize. I don't remember.
My brain is all leather helmet right now. I barely remember. No, and that is Nick Caserio has nailed, absolutely nailed, starting quarterback
yeah.
and backup quarterback. That is not a little thing in the NFL. That is not a small thing. And the thing with Davis Mills is he's got a bunch of starts under his belt.
He does.
I'm not the biggest fan, but I'm going to get to that because it's changing a little bit here in a second. But not only did he nail getting a quarterback, he got an elite quarterback. And then he has, for another year at least, well, this year and next year will be two, a backup quarterback that has started games in the league, that knows the offense, that has improved dramatically. Like, to be able to nail your starting and backup quarterback, dude, you're so way ahead of the game, it's not even funny. But here's the other thoughts that I had. Foremost, I'm not Clint, nor do I pretend to be Clint, you know, the quarterback guru.
How the ball jumps off his hand. How,
all that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually noticed this the first did he play the first preseason game, Davis Mills? He did, right? The Hall of Fame game?
Yes.
Yeah, it was either the first or second. I remember texting a buddy of mine and saying, I'm not the biggest Davis Mills fan if you have to win games with him consistently, but everything about his mechanics looks better. Like his footwork looks better. I'm not Clint, but from what I do know and from all the quarterbacks I have seen for 35 years or so, his footwork looks better. His release looks better. His, you know, just the mechanics in general look better. So he has developed and he's gotten better. And I think maybe throw a Rolex or something Gerard Johnson's way, because Gerard Johnson, the quarterback coach, is the one that has done that.
For sure.
And so, you know, and then the third thought is Davis Mills, I've consistently said, I think he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and wants to have that chance. I think he might be coming to the conclusion like, I'm going to get my reps here. Maybe some team after this year will trade for me, and I could have a chance to be a starting quarterback. But there are a lot worse things you can be than a backup quarterback to C.J. Stroud and a contending team.
Yeah. And I do wonder, as you've kind of put in my mind the idea of what is a trajectory towards mm-hmm. starting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if it's more of, I don't know, like the opportunity to be one of those stopgap veteran quarterbacks, right? You've proved yourself to be a mm-hmm. high-level backup quarterback that in the case of emergency, you can step in and clearly handle your own in a good enough level to where if you happen to lose a quarterback, and, you know, God forbid it happens with these Texans, particularly this year, lose a quarterback for 4 to 6 games, you are not worried about those 4 to 6 games, but you're also, you know that you can really make that span happen, because like that is the type of thing that you then have a team look around when they're like, hey, we know we don't have a quarterback prospect, but we don't want to go all in for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's when a player like that is somewhere that they go, let's see if we can span the gap for a year as a gap year quarterback. And then Davis Mills, if everything plays right, is in that you know, that territory. This is an interesting question that maybe we should circle back to, because I want to take a good opportunity to look at it. But from the 832, it's asked, is Davis Mills a top five backup? And I kind of want to examine that in some ways, maybe give ourselves an opportunity to look at that, because I have them in front of me. And I mean, just really quick glance. I mean, I'm talking about 10 seconds of glancing at this roster. All right. Yes is the first thing that came to my mind, but I would like to examine it further. One of the things that has been examined, Caitlin Kaler, who writes fantastic pieces now for ESPN. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where she was prior, but she's always done a fantastic job. She wrote a piece that actually dropped today, which was excellent timing for our purposes, about why the NFL has a backup quarterback crisis.
Okay.
And one of the things that she noted in this is that some of this is backup quarterbacks are no longer just a luxury. It's kind of a necessity. I believe that it was 67 was the number. Quarterbacks started games in this past season, 2023, right? If you just do basic math, right, you line that up, and of course it's not going to go exactly this way. 67 divided by 32, just over 2. Like every team, you imagine their backup is going to have to play in certain situations. Now, depending how long is a different thing. But I mean, we're in a time in the league where it's not just, hey, if your starting quarterback goes down, you're cooked. You have to find a way to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Texans very much in Davis Mills have a guy who is capable of stepping in and looking serviceable within the offense that you have, not just not having to shift what you're doing. He understands this offense and can run it capably. I think that that's worthwhile.
I think it's more than worthwhile. And I think that's one of the things where, he may have come to that conclusion. Yes, I still want to be a starting quarterback. But this is a great situation. He knows he's getting better. I just talked about, his mechanics and stuff. And if I notice that, the NFL is noticing that, general managers and NFL people, et cetera. And so maybe he'll get a couple of games here or a game here or there and show himself again to be, adequate and get that starting role somewhere. If not, he's here through 2025 and you're set. You're set in terms of familiarity, a guy that has won some games. And knows the offense.
Okay, let's do this as an experiment here. I'm just gonna run through backup quarterbacks.
I'm looking at him right now. I think he's right on the fringe.
All right, so I'm gonna run through backup quarterbacks, and we're gonna play the game better or worse than Davis Mills.
Yeah,
right. And we'll see if we can find it that way. All right, so I'll start in the AFC East. Josh Allen's backup is Mitchell Trubisky. Better or worse than Davis Mills?
Worse.
Okay.
Yeah, worse.
Miami, Skylar Thompson. K-Stater.
Emo. Don't know enough. I'm going to say worse.
Worse.
Okay. Drake May is the backup currently in New England.
I don't know, but I'm going to say.
I would say better, right?
Drake May is better.
Yeah, probably.
I would lean that way.
He was the top pick.
So there's one.
And, even if we want to go the way where we talk about, hey, Drake May is the eventual starter.
Or even.
Jacoby Brissett is looked at.
Yeah, he's definitely better.
He's better. Yeah.
Okay, so whatever's happening there, May or Brissett. We go with that's one that you've now found better. And to finish out that division, Tyrod Taylor with the Jets, who did not realize he was back in that general New Jersey area.
I didn't know that either.
Didn't Tyrod Taylor back up Davis Mills here and then took over the starting role?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So I'm going to say Tyrod Taylor is better.
That was an old pick.
I'm going to say Tyrod Taylor is better.
All right, cool. Yeah. The AFC North, Josh Johnson, long time backup.
Nah, he's not.
You're not feeling that anymore? Mm-hmm. All right, Jake Browning really crowned himself in glory stepping in for Joe Burrow last season.
Yeah, I'm going to say Browning is better.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Jameis Winston.
I was waiting for that one. Can't say Jameis Winston isn't better.
Jameis definitely has a higher ceiling, but that floor is hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll pencil Jameis in right now. Yeah, we'll see what that looks like. All right. Justin Fields as a backup.
I'm going to say Justin Fields is better, just the weaponry that he possesses.
If he was just a backup quarterback.
As a backup, he's better.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting to an interesting place where we have some names. Joe Flacco?
Yeah. Joe Flacco's better.
Okay. Mac Jones?
No.
Nah.
Yeah, no.
Nah.
Mason Rudolph? I don't even bother. I'm going to veto whatever you said. Jarrett Stidham?
No.
I'm going to say no.
No.
Okay. Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think I'd take Carson Wentz.
Interesting.
That's a close one.
Because here's the thing about
Carson Wentz.
That's
a close one, yeah.
Yeah, I would not take
the
Carson
The capability
Wentz.
Is absolutely high. Problem is, he's one of those dudes that just, it's always going to explode. Yeah. I don't know why or when, but it is going to explode, and that is wild.
So we're right at 5 or 6, right?
As of right now, we got, about 6 that we're looking at.
So he's right in this area.
Yeah.
O'Connell, Easton Stick, neither of those am I really loving.
What about
Marcus
Jimmy
Mariota?
G?
Jimmy G, I'm not hugely fond of, but also Jimmy G
has won some games.
Yeah, he's definitely been able to execute.
I'm going to say Jimmy
level.
G.
Okay, Cooper Rush.
Nah.
He does what he's supposed to do. Nah. Drew Locke.
Nah.
Kenny Pickett.
Nah.
Tyson Bagent. Hendon Hooker. Malik Willis. Nick Mullins. None of those are really exciting for me. Haener, I want to see what ultimately he looks like. Actually, Spencer Rattler might be the guy that you look at there. And, of course, those are both kind of commodities that aren't super well known. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix Jr. is an interesting look.
Interesting, but it's hard to know right now.
Andy Dalton.
Not now, really?
Yeah, okay.
Nah, it's a backup.
Sam Howell, Josh Dobbs, Stetson Bennett, Clayton Tune. None of those.
What about Mariota?
I mentioned Mariota earlier, but are you with it? You're with Mariota?
It's a close one, isn't it?
Okay, so like we're talking about.
Yeah. So he's right there.
Top third.
Yeah.
Top third is what we're looking at. Top 10, maybe?
I think the thing is with Davis Mills, he's not like flashy. He's not going to like throw the ball all over the place, but he's also not going to make a lot of mistakes. It seemed like he could just kind of hold down the fort.
He makes one big mistake every time he starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's going to push you a little bit closer to the middle. But again, you're paying, what, $5 million next year?
That's the other thing. It's $5 million, man.
And plus, I think he's just a good guy. He's a good locker room guy. Been with the organization from the worst times into the best times. So I think that play a lot in it, too.
Yeah, so he will remain the backup for the next couple of seasons with your Houston Texans after getting a one-year extension. That's Davis Mills, one-year, $5 million extension to remain C.J. Stroud's backup. And I think also one of the things that's nice is because last year, I think Seth Payne was mentioning this morning, right? Last year, there was a point where when you really needed a backup, you want to call somebody. I don't think you're still in that place.
No.
And I think it is nice to know that you have two quarterbacks that you're fine with. That third emergency quarterback is just that, an emergency. You don't have to use a roster spot with a third guy to kind of buttress it.
Mm-hmm.
Good job on Nick Caserio having that kind of solidified for the next couple of seasons when it comes to quarterback here with your Texans. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Tank Dell was on the Pivot podcast. Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder, and he had some interesting things to say. This was recorded during the course of training camp, but I still thought really interesting to get into Tank Dell, wide receiver for your Texans. Let's talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.